Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
5:15, Open Phone Friday. Time to start your weekend off right with Archie's Famous Wings. Breaking Pirates news. We'll get to that in a few minutes. And Dan Zangrilli will have more on the leadoff show coming your way at 6. Malzy off today. I got him sick. Donnie hosted the midday show. Charlie Borges back taking your calls Open Phone Friday. It's about you this segment, so I'm not going to blather on. Let's go to our number two fan, Jeff in South Park. Hello, Jeff.
Andrew Filippone, my friend. How the hell are you?
I'm pretty good, Jeff. I was like a 1 out of 10 48 hours ago when I was puking my brains out, but now I'm probably like a 9 or almost a 10. I'm back.
Same here. Same here. Not the puking part, but wasn't feeling great a couple days ago. I'm about a 9 or a 10 right now, so very much looking forward to the weekend. I do have a little bit of a bone to pick with you, though.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Just a small one. Like, if we want to get back to hockey talk for a second.
Yep.
I think it's going a little bit far to say that you actually like Alexander Ovechkin now.
The heart wants what the heart wants. The heart tells me, the heart directs sometime, heart over head. I like Alex Ovechkin. I do. If he gets the goal here to set the record, I'll be fine with it.
Can we just stop at I respect him now? Because that's where I'm at. Because I absolutely hated him and couldn't stomach him at all early in his career. I am at least now at the point where I respect him. I mean, he is going for the all-time goal record. He finally won the Stanley Cup. Now, granted, he had to go through a very tired Pens team to do so, and he beat an expansion team while doing so, but he did it. For a long time, it looked like he couldn't even get out of the first round. But, like, this whole like thing, you know what that whole thing that went down with Fleury last night was like? It was like when the Philadelphia Flyers fans applauded Mario when he had that game where he came back from his radiation.
Yep.
Like, did we go to start liking them all of a sudden?
No, but they've done things after that to reveal what they are, which are monsters and cretins and mutants and the scum of the earth. So they had one moment of clarity where they did something like pretty noble and admirable pay respect to somebody who was coming back from a near-death experience.
I don't know that Ovechkin has enough left in his career.
Well,
I'm just go back.
No doubt, but I'm just saying, like, my quarrel with Ovechkin ended like 5 or 6 years ago, and I like guys. This is just a soft spot for me. This is why Phil Kessel was I was a fan of Phil Kessel. I like guys who look like me when I take my shirt off, and are incredible athletes, and the dude eats like crap and parties hard and puts in 30 goals every year, and he doesn't crap on my team and try to take out my players anymore. So
by that logic, you would have been the world's biggest Babe Ruth fan too. Like,
yes.
I
like Bartolo Colon when he pitched, and I like Phil Kessel. And if I didn't like the Steelers, I probably still would have liked Jerome Bettis because he was a bigger guy who got it done. I like those guys. I just do.
Yeah, see, to me, that's kind of like they're so good, like, and naturally gifted that they don't have to put the work in. And I had to hear nothing but crap about Ben Roethlisberger when his skills started to erode at his natural ability.
Well, it depends who you listen to
on
that.
He wasn't putting the work in.
I mean, like, now you're fighting a proxy battle with me when that's like something that you need to take up with Mueller. That's like a Mueller issue. That's not a problem with me. Chris was saying those disparaging things about Ben.
That,
I wasn't.
That is true. You know what? Speaking of Mueller, bringing him up, because you kind of just jogged something in my brain. I'm kind of experiencing, because, like, I think I've mentioned it to you on the air before, was never the world's biggest Marc-Andre Fleury fan while he was here.
Agreed,
like, I mean,
with
I
that.
Just felt like for a number one overall pick, like, I mean, I was really kind of nitpicky, to be honest, in retrospect. But now the goalie hell that we've gone through ever since he's been gone, I have a newfound respect for him as a player. And I didn't appreciate him as much as I should have.
Well, hold
while
on a
he
second.
Was here.
No doubt. But I think that that's natural. I think every fan should be given a pass, because when a guy is in his playing career and you're living and dying with every season and almost every game, you're critical of guys when they don't get it done. And once their careers end,
are they doing the same thing? Is Mulder doing the same thing with Roethlisberger, though? That is,
he should.
That is my question to
he
you.
He should. He absolutely needs to. And so when guys leave, like, now you get the 30,000.
He is a stubborn man, though.
Oh, no doubt about it. No doubt. Thank you, thank you, Jeff. We'll talk again next week, I'm guessing. Like, when you're in the stew and you're analyzing every game, like, you're going to be harder on guys. And then when their playing careers are over and you look at the whole resume, if somebody did more good than bad, you probably praise them, I would think. Like, it'll be interesting to see how Tomlin gets ultimately remembered here. But we're, like, far removed now from him having real success. Like, very far away from that. And 8 years without a playoff win here is just an eternity. But now I'm getting off. Well, there is no topic here. I'm not getting off on any tangent because it's Open Phone Friday, which means it's open forum, so we can all say what we want. Here is Neil and here's John in West Virginia. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, man.
Hey. So interesting that last caller was talking about Ben Roethlisberger being eroded at the end of his career. I felt the same in the time. But, you know, statistically, looking at the numbers, Aaron Rodgers last season in one more game than Ben Roethlisberger played in his final season only threw for 100 yards more on the season. And touchdown to interceptions was very
similar. A little
similar.
Bit better for Rodgers, but not much better. It's really not that different. You're right.
And I'm looking at, you know, statistically, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger was more effective in his last couple of years than Aaron Rodgers has been in his last few years, and he had that full season that he missed. I'm just flabbergasted at the idea of them waiting patiently on Rodgers whenever, I mean, we really haven't heard anything. I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but has there been any conversation? You know, Ben made that video and people have said that he was, you know, joking about coming back out of retirement. But I mean, Brady won a Super Bowl at age 44 and played until age 45.
Yeah. John, thanks. Zero chance. I mean, Ben's not coming out of retirement. He's in good shape, like for a regular human being like you and me. He's not in football shape. Once you're out, I think it's very, very difficult to go back in, especially when you're years removed from it. So the guy's made hundreds of millions of dollars. He gets to watch his kids play volleyball and golf and flag football. No, he's not doing it. It would be hilarious. It would be fun. We know, we watched Mario do it. So whenever, you know, we have like a great example of it in our town. And I think people like maybe wish that for other athletes because we watched it happen here with another iconic player. But no, I mean, there's a less than 0% chance that happens. Here's Neil in Coraopolis. Hello, Neil.
Hey, Pony. See, I don't know what the it's not worth the wait to wait on Rodgers. And like, I don't get like, why not offer a bigger, like more money to Sam Darnold? Why not commit to him? Why not offer bigger money to Justin Fields? Like, what are you going to lose trying to go with these guys?
I said it the day the trade happened, and I don't feel any less, sure of it or good about or any worse about the take. Thanks for the call, Neil. I said that they should have gone out and made that Geno Smith trade. Geno's in his mid-30s, but there's not a lot of mileage on him because he was a backup for so long, because he was a knucklehead and got punched in the face by one of his teammates and was immature. and then he had to toil and wait for a much longer time because of that. Go look up his stats. Dude makes a lot of plays. And we've watched him play with DK Metcalf, and it hasn't gone half bad. So if you're talking about paying a quarterback $30 million, I'd rather take my chances with somebody like him than a washed-up 41-year-old that comes with tons of baggage. And I don't think like a Geno Smith year-to-year thing prevents you or keeps you from drafting a quarterback in the early rounds of 2026, if that's what you want to do. Here is Aaron in Uniontown. Hello, Aaron.
Hey, Pony, how are you?
We're good. What's up?
So we've made a big deal about the Pirates offseason and how it wasn't very good. But much like the Steelers, I mean, does it really matter when you have a manager that hamstrings your players at every turn? Like, he pulled Paul Skeens in the fifth inning. He gave up two hits and one run, and you're pulling the guy in the fifth inning to give it up to a bullpen that, going back to last year, has just given up game after game after game. I don't see Derek Shelton making it through the season. I don't know what your opinion is on that.
No, he's not going to make it through the season. Thank you, Aaron. I just ripped Shelton and Charrington to shreds on the show at 2 o'clock. Like, I thought that was a perfect example of why this team is not just it's not only about the amount of money that the owner spends when you have a. Their payroll is double Miami's. So here is a series or here is a matchup where you can't cry poor. You can't act like you're the poverty franchise. You can't make it into a money thing. You actually spend double the money that they do. And it was very obvious how poorly run they are as an organization by their baseball people. Cruz in center field, Andy Rodriguez at first, Bart catching, IKF at shortstop, the way they've handled their bullpen arms. Honestly, the least objectionable thing to me from that game was when Skeens came out, because watching it, I thought he was done. I thought his command was bad. He was close to 100 pitches. I think it's totally defensible in a first start to get a starting pitcher out when he's in the 90s. I had no issue with that. I didn't think Skeens was great yesterday. I thought he was solid at best against a very weak lineup. Pitched well enough for the Pirates to win. Not even close to his fault that they lost. But I didn't think that it was a raw deal I didn't think it was a total buffoonery move by Shelton to get Skeens out when he did. That being said, I think that Shelton is way over his head as a manager. He'll be fired before the All-Star break, and I think that Charrington will be done by the end of the year, too. Daryl in Houston is on Open Phone Friday. Hello, Daryl.
Hey, Tony. How you doing, man? I got a little beef with you, Cass, but I'm going to have to hit you back for that. I can't understand. I got text messages and calls a couple weeks ago saying you didn't make the tournament.
The committee snubbed you. When we revealed the bracket and got the field for best PM team caller, just stunned that you did not make the field of eight. And Mueller was all over it. He was the first one to point it out when the picks got made. And Donnie and I immediately checked in on it. Just thought it was a complete miscarriage of justice, is what we called it.
I know, man. I know. I've said it's some geographical bias, man. My CPI, my collar power index
CPI.
Is good. I had a lot of quad one calls with tough subjects.
And all
I think
road
it's
games.
A travesty of just
you played a road and, schedule. And
exactly, Pony playing a road schedule, man, and I made some tough calls about the Steelers that everybody was probably not feeling, but hey. They're coming to fruition, and I want to just expand on that. But I need to talk to Craig Riley to understand what kind of shop he's running.
I agree with that. I'm with you on that.
And I got calls and text messages. I was like, I have no clue what people were talking about. But real quick, I'm just hearing all the same things. I'm getting a little bit, I don't know, agitated is the word. I'm hearing the same type of justifications that we had with Russ Wilson for Aaron Rodgers.
You're right.
Oh, he had touchdowns. He made plays. His defense gave up, you know, points. All the same things we saw or heard from Russ is we're hearing them for Aaron. And the thing is, it's not going to change. I keep harping on this. It's not going to change. When you can't develop, and I'm starting, and I'm liking what I hear about some of the people on the station saying, hey, I have no trust in them to draft and develop. None. So whoever they pick this year and whoever they pick next year, it's not going to matter until this regime is out, because now you're groveling. That's the thing that hurts me the most, to see the Pittsburgh Steelers groveling. We used to be choosing and refusing. Now we're groveling. We're waiting on a 41-year quarterback to give us the okay to move forward. And he's just stringing us along.
Well, look, exactly. And look at the 180. Cam Hayward came out and actually spoke his truth and was honest. And then he figured out, I think, that, wait a second here. I'm actually probably going to have to share a locker room with this guy. He came to Pittsburgh and paid him a visit. And then he had to go on NFL Network and basically offer a mea culpa and do a 180, because now the reality set in that he might actually have to hang out with this guy. And thanks for the call, Daryl, and be a captain and be a teammate with him. I mean, I think that what you said the first time is the truth, and what you said the second time is covering your butt. And look, we've all had to do stuff like that to make our bosses happy. Anthony in Oakland is next. Hello, Anthony.
Thank you. You know, I'm so frustrated with the organization, and especially Tomlin. That's the culprit here. I mean, you know, he tells us there's going to be an accountability after the season.
He did say
that. He told us he wanted a mobile quarterback. Well, the last two games that we saw the Pittsburgh Steelers play against their division foe, who they had won 8 out of 9 games against, ran for almost 600 yards on them.
Yeah.
So the coordinator doesn't pay the price. The defensive line coach doesn't pay the price. No one pays the price for mediocre football around here anymore. I mean, at this point, go with Mason Rudolph. Keep that money that you're going to spend to him to do what you're going to do with Watt or whatever you're going to do, and think about the quarterback next year, or get that young quarterback from Louisville in the late rounds to just have a, you know, somebody here maybe you could develop. I doubt it, because they have shown a propensity to never be able to develop a quarterback. And Ben was ready-made when Tomlin got him.
Anthony, what was your reaction to the Pirates' opening day loss?
Same as it ever was.
Yep.
I've moved on from that catastrophe, too.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right.
Anthony in Oakland.